Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High.
You glad to be in the house of the Lord this evening? Amen. Amen. It's good to be back in church. It's always a grand privilege to be here. And we'd like to welcome everyone, especially our streamers, tonight to our service. I know there's a lot gone on vacations and trips, but we're here to praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I've found out, and I'm sure you probably know also, that when I'm the lowest, when I'm really down and out, and things don't seem right, if I just praise the Lord, it'll lift you up every time. If you just worship and praise the Lord. Let's stand together and sing a little more of this. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I challenge you this evening to bless the Lord. Praise His name. Amen. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be. You be seated for a few moments while we go over our prayer request, and I got a couple of announcements also. And Brother Horn, if you'd be ready to take us to the Lord in prayer. This request says, please pray for John Clark. He is in the hospital with 100% blockage and 95% in his heart. He's 85 years old and our neighbor. Also pray for Vicky Cash, with a bad back pain and disc is herniated. She needs an operation. This is from Brother Jerry Glenn. We have a request here. Says, please pray for Roxanne Black. She went to the ER with a heart attack symptoms. The doctors can't find a cause. This is from Brandy Anthon. And we have another prayer request. Says, please pray for Sister Linda Lars, who has bronchitis and pneumonia. I want to remember that request. We have an unspoken prayer request sent into the library. I want to remember that one this evening. Brother Eddie Jabonski, this is a praise report. Would like to thank you for your prayers and help to find work. He now has a new job at Kroger's and gives thanks to Jesus Christ. Praise report. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. He is our provider. Please remember Brother Ed Yance in prayer. He has hurt his back and is in really is sick. We want to remember Brother Ed Yance in prayer. Welcome. This is a couple of reports. Brother Horn, if you want to come, and I'll make these while you're coming. Welcome Sister Heidi's parents, Don and Elka White, good friends of ours, visiting here from Canada. We'd like to make them welcome. They're back. Raise your hands. Right back there. Amen. Amen. We also have Tim, Felicia, and Chloe Perry have moved here to make this their home church. Give them a hand. Amen. Let's all stand together as we go to the Lord in prayer.
I'm so glad that we get to go to church again. Again. I tease with the deacons a little bit. I say, you know, you need to talk to my wife. She makes me go to church every service. But they can't do anything with her. I'm so glad we get to come one more time. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I don't have words sufficient to say thank you because we truly have this privilege to come. We enjoy the fellowship around the Word. We know that it's a commandment to come, but we don't come just because of the commandment. We come because it's a love affair. Lord, you have invited us into your kingdom. Lord, we have certainly been given such a tremendous amount of manna, not only just the manna, but the hidden manna. And Lord, the special revelation, Lord, that you've hid and let it be unknown for all these generations down to the last days. The seal's been opened. We've been given some understanding of these things. We're just, Lord, so happy. We see the opposite side, Lord. When I just look around, I see the pale horse rider, which is death, and there's death in the land. Everywhere you look, there's death. There's nations, the spirit of death. People, they're killing. There's murder. There's every type of spirit of death. Even on the automobiles, we see pictures of skulls, and everything has to do with skull. It's just the pale horse riders. There's death in the land. But Lord, you have given us life, and there's a resurrection has already been taking place. There's a resurrection. There's life in the land also. We're happy to be part of those who have received that life. Lord God, how thankful we are that death is not upon us. We can't even die. We just go to sleep. But we believe there's people that's standing in the building tonight will be changed. Every molecule in their body will be transformed, Lord, into a glorified state. What a glorious time that we're living in. I pray, Lord, for these requests, the first two heart conditions. I pray, God, you're an ever-present help in a time of need. What's a heart condition compared to a headache? For you, Lord, it just requires one thing, that we can appropriate that faith. You said, ask, believe, don't doubt. You can have whatsoever things you desire. Grant it, Lord. Brother Ed, you asked a different request, Lord, that I'm holding in my hand. I pray, God, that you'll deliver them. There's faith in the building. Somebody's going to believe in behalf, and we believe collectively and the individual. And Lord, not only that, but if you'll add your faith with our faith, it'll make it perfect faith, and we'll see the manifestation come to pass. Pray that you'll anoint Brother Donnie to come and minister the Word of God. Give us, Lord, spiritual food in due season. Those things we have need of. Lord, we'll be thankful and happy and praise your name because truly we had the opportunity once more to come into your house, worship you, Lord. Receive our thanksgiving, Lord, and we'll just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Terry. Brothers that come at this time would like to receive the offering this evening, and I'd like to sing together a few songs of worship together this evening, a couple of old songs. When the redeemed are gathering in. Amen. I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. Heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, washed like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how it shines. Are gathering in. Oh, what singing, oh, what music for that city will be rolled when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, washed like snow. I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, wash like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear His invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in. Redeemed are gathering in. Oh, washed like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, washed like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering. Amen. Amen. I'm going to sing another old song. This is kind of a one I think of when I go into Walmart. This world is not my home. Amen. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up
somewhere beyond the blue, the angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angel beckoned me from heaven's upper door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus so many years ago. I know he'll see me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angel beckoned me, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. A little chorus that goes something like this. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, then my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. Everybody now. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, oh, then my soul cries out, oh, hallelujah, oh, praise God for saving me. One more time. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, then my soul cries out, oh hallelujah, praise God for saving me. Hallelujah. Might as well just remain standing, and we'll change the order of the service. And yeah. Are you expecting something from the Lord tonight? Yes. Amen. Brother Harry, he's going to be our song special, and we're going to help him out, and he's going to sing a song for us as we change the order of the service. Amen. I'm expecting something tonight. Brother Harry?
Brother Brad, can you find... Brother Harvey asked me to sing Living He Loved Me. So. Do you love him? Amen. Praise the Lord. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he came, all my sins far away.
found freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now he's ascended, my Lord evermore. Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried all my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day, oh glorious day.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Aren't you glad you can say that? He loved you. Not only did, but he still does. Praise be to God. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's turn to the Song of Solomon. I know y'all are so shocked too. Just Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 13. Oh my, may we be able to walk into the view of our husband. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphire with spikenard, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a fountain of gardens, not one now, but a fountain of gardens. So it's like she has little orchards of this and little orchards of that, and here's a little flower garden, and here's a rose garden, and here's another garden. And so it's a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Now this is her. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, and blow upon my garden. So now she is saying what he's been saying all along. I don't believe she's just saying it because it's words. I believe she's actually realized it. Blow upon, notice now, my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. And let my beloved come into his garden. Now what's happening? Surrender. She acknowledges that it is hers. Where'd she get it? From him. He said there's a lot of trading going on. He gave it to her. She gives it back to him. There ain't no way she could do this on her own. Blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we so love you tonight, Father. You are such a marvel to us. We say it so much, Lord, but we want to say it again tonight. Our God is an awesome God. Your ways are so phenomenal. They are so sublime. And yet, you choose to make them so simple that many times people stumble over them because of the simplicity. We are so grateful, Father, that your greatest measure of love is known through the power of condescension. That you condescend, this whole Song of Solomon that we've been looking at now for such a long time, is the act of condescension of our God, allowing himself to be portrayed in such a relationship as between a man and a woman. Father, I pray that you'd take your word tonight. May you anoint our hearts. Help me, Lord Jesus. I'm just, as it were, a microphone or an instrument by which you can use. Take this part of yourself that you deposited in my life when I was born. Lord, if I live to be tomorrow, 61 years ago, whenever I was born and took the breath of life, that eternal part come from the presence of God. That was in me then. Now, Lord, I pray that you would help me tonight. Use that part of yourself to speak the words of life to your beloved. Grant it, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You can be seated. Don't you just love coming to church?
Amen.
The bride could have said so many things. She could have said, I'm struggling to comprehend what you're saying. She could have said, I don't view myself as being worthy of your love. She could have said, I'm struggling with my past. She could have said, my faults are so many and my humanity is so great. But apparently she has reached the point of being able to cross over. It's taken quite some time. For many of us, it will take decades of our lives. For the Spirit of God to be able to relate to us the love that he had for us before the foundation of the world. He is so patient. He is so gentle. He is so kind and loving. And he wants you to get this so bad. He will deal with you and I week after week, month after month, year after year, until it has finally hit us by his own power. Truly, he knows intellectually we will get it before we get it by revelation. He knows that by hearing it repeated over and over again, that it will finally begin to make logical sense. But he also knows that ain't good enough. That you must have it by revelation or someone else logically can take it away from you. So he keeps on dealing with us. Oh my. Revelation by revelation. Sermon by sermon. Tape by tape. Service by service. Until it is so real that the devil himself could not take it away from your heart. That's what he desires it to be. I believe that the Shulamite has now arrived to that spot. And of course, this is a parable form in a symbol. And we see that from the symbols that we've looked at before, that she is a true representation of the bride. She has been able, by him conveying it to her, and she's now arrived at the spot that she can actually, by revelation, as we'd say, able to acknowledge that she has and she is a garden. She not only has plants that are there, but she has, by acknowledgement, become a fruitful garden. As we will see, the garden was actually revealed in three stages or three pools. God, again, is so patient in order to deal with us in such a way. Now, notice she says, "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south." Now, we looked at this before, but let's look at it again just to refresh your mind on it. That the north wind and the south wind, both being opposites, the north wind brings the cool, the north wind will bring the clear, and the south wind will bring the rain and the wind and the storms. But yet it takes both in order to be able to come together to create the common vortex inside of this garden that will bring the aroma of what she wants to be produced. Now, the north wind alone would totally dry out the garden eventually, because it continuously blows and it blows and it blows the clouds away, and it blows away all the things that are causing the rain. But eventually it would cause the ground to dry out. It would cause the garden to become very dry, the plants very brittle, and they are going to die. So she prays for the contrasting winds and the balance between the two, that God would be able to blow the north. You know, we know we need trials, do we not? We need tests in our life. We don't like them. None of us do. But yet they are part of our life, and we're living under the law of contrast, and they must be there. But we know also that if we lived under the constant blowing of the south wind, it would overwhelm us. We would not be able to take it, one storm after another, trial after trial, and constantly ongoing without the breaking of the south wind. If the rain came all the time, it would cause our crops to rot, and they would absolutely rot right in the very fertile soil which God planted them. So we need the contrast of the two. Both of them working in proper sequence of God will produce what God wants them to do. Now, according to which plants would have been, now notice with me, let's say this way so you'll understand it's a circumference. It's not this way, but let's say this is north and this is south and this is east and this is west. Now, if we have myrtle trees that are planted here, and then we would have certain fragrant flowers that would be planted on this end of the garden. When the north wind begins to blow, it is going to catch the fragrance of these trees and flowers and shrubbery things, and it's going to blow them toward this direction, toward the south, and it's going to bring the fragrance into the garden. But it's only going to be one-sided now. So if then we call for the contrasting wind, which is the south, and then on this end there's going to be the apple blossoms and the cherry blossoms, and there's going to be the camellias, the rhododendrons, there's going to be all kinds of other things, and they're planted on the other end of the garden. Now, when the south wind begins to blow, then we will smell a fragrance from that that we did not smell coming from this direction. You see, whenever we get these contrasts in our life, even though it may look like it's terrible and it's so awful that we're going through these, but attributes out of ourself that were not made manifest from the north side will actually be made manifest from the south side. Right. Now we know that the great attributes of God that was brought into expression when the eternal condensed into the beginning of time, and there were such wonderful things that was brought out of him, yet many things that was not brought out of God until Adam actually fell. Now we see him as a creator, we see him as many wonderful things, but there was things that Adam's fall brought out of God that we would have never seen in eternity without the fall. So God takes the contrast in between the north and the south, and he brings out the greatness of his attributes. Now to me, this is displaying how the bride is finally coming to a spot in her life that she realizes when she's going through trials and tests and so on, it's not because God don't love her, it's not because she's not bride, she realizes this is part of being who she is. Now immature Christians, when they first come to the Lord, they give their heart to God, and God will baby them as he did all of us, and God will keep the hard times from them as he did all of us, but eventually to be a child of God, you're going to have to be really tried, and you're going to have to be tried hard, and then our attitude toward those trials actually will be reflected by our age and our maturity and our growth. So if we're constantly whining and bellyaching all the time, it shows, even though we might have been saved 75 years, it shows we've never matured very far, because we're still acting like a baby. So whenever the bride now has finally come to the spot that she's able by her own will to call for the contrast of the north wind and call for the contrast of the south wind, because she now realizes she needs these things in her life. Oh my, is anybody going to preach with me tonight? Now you realize for each one of us, we must do exactly the same thing. Now what she says, awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden. Now the north is going to purge, and it's going to cool the air and dry out the ground. The south, of course, is going to come when it is the appropriate time. It's going to come with some moisture and be able to revitalize and bring it to the garden again. Notice this in invisible union. Sometimes everything will run fine for you for years. Then all at once you'll hit a spell where we said in the times in the south here, when it rains, it poured. Now you guess what? Who brought the rain, don't you? The south wind. The south wind. Now remember, this is set in the setting of Palestine, so it was always directional. So the wind, the weather would come from a certain direction. And out here around here, we can get it from the north many times, get it from the south from different directions, but where they are, it was pretty much directional. So this is why they speak in a directional way. So Brother Ben said, we said many times in the south here, when it rains, it pours, and everything goes wrong. You're going through a nighttime. Then there's a daybreak, and then a night. Time, everything runs in continuity. So now the bride is recognizing that her life has been the flow of the continuity of the grace of God. Now when you were young, you didn't see it that way, you didn't understand it that way, but as you grow and you mature, then you understand, as it was with the Lord Jesus, as it was with the Book of Acts church, so is it with you, so is it with me. As an individual, our church will go through real difficult times. We'll go through struggles at times. We'll go through hardships, a lot of sickness, a lot of this and that and the other. And then you find you've climbed yourself out of that place, and God will give you a good time. That's not just our church, it's every church. You find the Corinthian church, the Galatian church, every church is that way. Why? Because we're living under the law of contrast. It takes both winds to blow in our lives to make us fruitful. Out of the south will bring things out of our lives that the north can never touch. Out of the north will bring things out of our life that the south can never touch as well. It's well and good to be able to fight and to be able to be a burden bearer and all that. But you know what? We need also to be able to rest at times and just enjoy the blessing of God and just drink in and be refreshed from his presence. Some folks are such fighters all the time, they can never really just calm down and lay their sword down long enough just to get drunk on the Holy Ghost and just get a real good overdose of the Holy Ghost and just enjoy being saved. Because they fight, they fight, they fight, they fight, and when it comes a day off, they don't know how to enjoy a good day off. I don't know about you, I enjoy a good day off from fighting. I'll take two if the Lord will let me have it. I'll take a week, Lord, if you'll let me have it. I enjoy it and I need it. Now, I am a warrior. I realize that. I'm called to be a warrior. I'm called to be able to stand, as bad as I hate to, on the forefront many times, but that is who I'm called to be. But I've also learned that whenever the north wind will blow and cool things down a little bit and let me enter into a cycle when I can be able to be refreshed, it's not being sissified to enjoy it. It's not being that I'm shirking my duty and my responsibility, and I'm in between the shifting of the winds, and it's blowing a part of me now that shows that I can trust what God is doing. Oh, don't you love the Lord? Notice it, Brother Bram says, now everything runs in continuity. Now, notice the next phase of why that the Shulamite, the bride, is calling for the wind to come. She says, blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out. Now, here they are. They're in the contents of the wall. Remember now, she's enclosed in a garden wall. If the breeze would have been able to blow through the garden itself, she would have not needed much of a burst of wind. But because she is enclosed in a wall, totally surrounded by a wall, more than likely is head high, and the natural things of looking at it to keep animals out and people out. So you'd want a pretty good sized wall around her. By doing that, you enclose her into that, which it can make it quite still inside the garden by itself. Now, then the gentle breeze is going to come, but when it comes, it's going to hit the wall. It'll rise up above the wall, creating what is called a thermal. And because the thermal will rise, it will come and go above the wall, and much of the time it will go over the top of the garden, depending on the size of the garden, and she'll never even feel that gentle breeze at all. So she needs something sometimes that'll be a little bit more stirring, a little bit more alarming, a little bit more moving. You ever get that way sometimes? You just get kind of complacent. You know, you really need stirred up, and you need more than a little gentle breeze blowing by just to kind of touch you on the cheek. You need something that'll smack that old face of yours and really wake you up. Why? Because of where you are. Now, God in His grace, He understands that, so He gives us what we need when we need it. Now, so she's asking for the wind to be able to come and blow upon my garden. She says that the spices thereof may flow out. Now, notice the term here that is used, that the spices may be able to flow out. Now, she's needing enough stir in the wind to where that if it comes so hard, that it will totally overwhelm those that are near. Now, she's wanting the fragrance of her own experience to come to her husband, now her lover, her Lord. So she's asking for it to come in such a way that it will be able to flow to him in a pleasant type of speed, in a way by which it will come by him and he will be able to enjoy it. Y'all women, none? Now, so he will be able to enjoy what's that. Now, listen, friend, this to me is all signs of her maturity. She realizes that revival is no longer just like it was in the days of the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, and we're going in to empty out all the hospitals and we're going to have a tent meeting and 10,000 is going to get saved. No, friend. Them days are long gone. A bride's revival is not thousands and thousands coming to the message. A bride's revival is that bride. There'll be people that'll come all along until the last one comes in. But the bride revival is this right here. It is the end time message of ministers taking the stones and shaping them to fit in the building. That's what Brother Branham preached. End time evangelism was. End time evangelism is not going out knocking on doors. It's not going out and doing like the people out here in the world do. End time evangelism is preachers shaping stones to fit in the building. Amen. And that's why a lot of people don't like it today. They're losing their zeal and so on. Why? Because they've lost the focus of what end time evangelism is. What is the most of the preaching that you and I hear about when we go to the house of God? It is in the focus and the administration of end time evangelism. It is a minister, a pastor, evangelist, whoever it is, taking a sharp tool and cutting off the excess out of our lives in order to place us into the body of God. And then people say, well, I get bored with it. I don't enjoy this. I don't enjoy that. They don't enjoy being cut on, is the truth. But you know what? If you are a stone that come from God, you want to be cut. Now, you may be as big as this building spiritually, but your position in Christ may not be but that big. So all of this has got to be cut off of you in order to fit in that slot. Oh, man, I know some of you all would like for me to love it off. Some of y'all would like for me to just rub it off. But sometimes I got to take a big old axe or a big old hammer and a big old chisel. Man alive, I've got to hit that thing so hard it reverberates from one end of the pew to the other end of the pew where you're sitting. But it's the mercy of God. Luckily enough, I don't know how big you need to be. I don't know what size you need to be. All I need to know is preach. Just preach what He gives me and let the Lord do the chopping. Amen. End time evangelism is not me trying to tell you how to get more money, how to get more business, how to get a bigger house, how to get a bigger car. It is shaping our lives by the Word of God. Now, this is an epitome to me of what the bride here in the title is saying, that the spices thereof may flow out, causing the graces that have been given to me, the fruits of my life, which has been produced by the new creation of my Lord, let them flow out naturally. Now, notice she is not trying to produce this on her own. She is not trying to love. She is not trying to refrain from hate. She is not trying to be a better person. She's asking for the supernatural power of the wind, the Holy Ghost, to be able to come and blow upon what He gave her to do. Now, will you and I have to fight against certain things? We will, because of our makeup. I love this. Listen to this, Brother Branham, and why people are so tossed about. Did you ever go into a rose garden early of a morning, or up and down the highways here real early when the dew is on the ground, and behold the odor, that odor of the honeysuckles and so forth, the locust blossom. How many of y'all know what a honeysuckle is? And locust blossom, he said, it's just like a Christian who's hid himself away with God in the stillness of the night or somewhere. He'll come forth the next day with a freshness and odorous life. Now listen, a freshness and an odorous life. Now you ain't going to smell like a polecat. You ain't going to have marijuana on him. You ain't going to have alcohol on him. He ain't going to smell like he's been up all night sleeping with a bunch of whores. Brother Donnie, that's not etiquette. I ain't worried about etiquette. I'm worried about telling the truth. You know what? He's going to have an odor about him, which is going to be from the Heavenly Father. Now notice, oh my, the odor of the honeysuckle and the locust bloom. He said it's just like a Christian who's hid himself away in the stillness of the night or somewhere. He'll come forth the next day with a freshness and an odorous life. A pleasant place to be. Somebody you like to talk to. Now remember when we closed this out Wednesday night about Paul, how that Paul got around his friends and he was refreshed. Paul refreshed himself from being in the presence. What kind of friends was it? These honeysuckle Christians. They were honeysuckle Christians. That's what they were. So they'd been out and the dew had fallen in the night. Oh, glory to God. And the dew had fallen down and that honeysuckle had just pulled it all in, and that aroma is going everywhere. And that's the way that the Shulamite has recognized finally, by the grace of God, that God has done such a work in my life. It's not me doing it. It's not you doing it. It's not us learning how. It's not mind over matter. It's not me trying to psychologically teach you how to overcome. It is an inward life. It is an inward power that is greater than you. It's greater than me. It is greater than our difficulties. All we need to do is get in the dew. I used to have a honeysuckle vine just right in my... outside my porch there at the house. That thing got so big and so overwhelming, I had to cut it back. Now, it wasn't like some folks, will y'all please come to church? Please. We go to church 3 times a week. Would some of y'all please come at least twice? I'm begging you. I'm begging you, some of you, please. Try to live right. When it comes to that, I quit. When I have to beg you to come to the house of God and beg you to live right, you ain't worthy of the kind of preaching God gives me to you.
You're not fit for it. Many people have proved themselves unworthy to sit in such a church. Right. Amen. If people don't love God no more than that, they have proved themselves unworthy of His supper. Come on, Dad. Don't get quiet on me. Didn't Jesus give us the example? Well, I've got a cow. I've got a piece of property over here. I've got this and that and the other. They said, then let them alone and go out there and get somebody that's hungry. Praise God. Oh, my. Notice this. He says, He'll come forth the next day with a freshness and an odorous life, a pleasant place to be. Now, he's talking about the pleasant place to be is around you. A pleasant place to be. Amen. And you're like that honeysuckle out by my back door. You grow and you grow and you're getting bigger and you're getting bigger and you're smelling better and better and better. And the bigger you are, the more dew you can retain. And the more dew you retain, it activates your fragrance. And the more fragrance, then the more honeybees and whatever more just come around you and they just want to hang around where you are. Amen. How many people you ever see hang around a grout gut? An old grouch. Only his wife, and she can't go nowhere. And the kids. Oh, my. Notice this. You talk to somebody that can encourage you. Somebody you got confidence in. Your neighbor over there. Oh, how you love to talk with her. See, that's the freshness. The odorous. And some of you will wonder, well, what am I going to smell? Right here, this is it. The freshness of the life of Christ in you. And the thing of it is, you may be lower than they are. You may be going through more than they are, but you're not basing your freshness on your valley. You're basing your freshness on where you are in Christ Jesus. A honeysuckle has battle. A locust may have difficulty, but he's still been in the dew in the presence of God, and he emits this odor. Oh my, he said, the next thing it yields is fruit. And everywhere the Holy Spirit comes, it always plants the seed of God and yields fruit. And the church said, now, if the wind blew from one direction and another, and then another, it's just constant swirling around. It's going to be so difficult to even know what you're smelling. Because you got a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of something else, and it's all kind of mixed together and you don't even know. So she prays for directional winds. Don't you understand? This is the most difficult part for any preacher that stands and preaches the word, is to find the direction for the service, to know exactly what you need from God. God knew everybody that'd be here tonight. I didn't. God knew everybody that streamed this service and everybody that'd go back and listen to it. He's the only one that can custom fit a sermon that'll meet every need of every individual, whether they're here or invisible. Oh my, then whenever the north wind and the south wind, they blow in the right order, then the fragrance begins to rise in waves. In waves. Waves. Oh my. Notice this, she says, blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden. Let my beloved come. The breath of life has now blown upon me. Praise the Lord. Let my beloved come into his garden and enjoy his fruit. I've worked and I've prayed and I've done this and I've done that and I want my beloved. No, that's Cain. This is not what you're not done. Because of all of our things that we'll do, we'll still fail. And we'll fall short of the glory of God. Oh my, look at her. With childlike tenderness and childlike understanding, she beckons for him to come into his garden.
She gives herself to her beloved. This is the one thing he wants from you and me. Ourself. And guess what? That's what we keep from him. Now there's saved people sitting right here tonight. You give your heart to God many, many years ago. Some of you have had a real experience with God. You're really, truly born again, as we'd say. But you've never really learned to surrender your all. There's still too much of you that's visible. There's too much David Siler, too much Donnie Reagan, too much Wes. When you can see more Reagan than you can see Jesus, we need to move up. When you can see more Parker than you can see Jesus, more Yonts, more Cuts. Come on now, saints. We need to move up so that the very fruit of Christ can live out of our life. This is not her now being able to do it. She is now acknowledging what he has done. So she wants the husbandman to be the first partakers and the only partakers of the fruit by which he himself has created in her life. She acknowledges, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. As Mary said, how can this be? You're going to have a son. You're going to have a seed. Mary said, how can this be? I have not known a man. Be it unto me according to thy word. So Mary received this seed from God, and then it was Mary's seed, and then Mary packed it, and Mary gave birth to it. Amen. And she gave it back to God. It's the same with you. God gives you the Holy Ghost. God gives you the new birth. It produces fruit and life and manifestation. You give it back to God. It's the unending cycle. Oh my. Oh, let these spices, let them flow out. Notice she's not working now. What are you doing? I'm working on love. Go bust a gut. I'm trying to love everybody. You'll never be able to do it. Oh, you're talking about a delightful garden to walk in. When the fruits have been given to her in the form of seed, she's in the dew and the presence of the Shekinah. Now the life is coming out of her. She actually sees it rising up out of her life and takes his word for it. So she says, come now, come. Let the winds blow upon me. As I realize I'm a failure. But he says, it's here. He says, it's in me. He says, he sees it. And he says, he wants it. Well, if he says it's here, whether or not I understand it, whether or not I see it the way he sees it, I'm going to offer him what he says he sees. Be it unto me according to thy word. Oh my, notice she says, let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Now this coming, of course, is not the first coming of Christ, nor is it the second coming of Christ, but it is the personal coming of Christ to each individual seed. Amen. Amen. It is him coming to you. Not a feeling, not an emotion, not a workup, but him. And when he comes, he brings change. When he comes, he makes you a new creature. Notice she's not asking for his gifts. This is the age of his presence. She's not asking for justification. She's not asking for emotion. She's asking for him. Oh, but Brother Donnie, don't you believe in the gifts? I do. But if I can get the giver, I get the gifts. Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. Why would I want to focus on the gifts? I mean, focus on the giver, Brother Keith. And if I get the giver, all the gifts come right with him. Praise be to God.
Oh, hallelujah. Let my beloved come into his garden. And the Hebrew there is actually coming. My beloved coming into his garden. So he doesn't come one time. He comes into the soul and seals the soul off. We know that. But he also knows that we as human beings tend to lean toward laziness and slothfulness. And he don't just come the one time and say, well, make good of it, because if you ever get in a bad shape, you can forget me coming back. Oh, no. He don't just come to you initially, but he comes to you when you're down. He comes to you when you are weary. What do you need, friends, when you get sick and when you get depressed? You need his coming. His coming to come to you in that personal presence to raise you up. What is it? It's a spiritual coming to visit his people with his presence. Oh, and when it's granted, you know he's around. Oh, that smells like the lily of the valley, don't it? Oh, it smells like the church is his garden by his choice. You didn't choose him. He chose you. But Brother Donnie, one day I went up to the altar and I got a hold of the altar and I done this and that and the other. All happened was he finally got you to a spot where you could agree with his choice. Be it unto me according to thy word. Did Mary have a choice of being that virgin of Isaiah 7:14? Was it multiple choice? A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. All right, Mary, Lucy, Bess, Frida, on and on and on and on. And then whichever one of them does this and that and the other. And I like, she was ordained before the foundation of the world to have that womb that God would be able to bring his son upon the earth in. Praise the Lord. Amen. Same with you. Oh, but don't I have a will? You do. And that's what'll get you in so much trouble. What? She says, let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. They've now matured. They're no longer seed. But these graces, these fruits in my life, have run the full cycle. Notice in Matthew 7:16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. And the church said, amen. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye. You mean to tell me that I've got a right to look at people's fruits? Oh, you're judging me, you're judging me. I'm a fruit inspector. Jesus gave me the right. Now we're living in an age when people want to close their eyes to all the fruit. So they're not sure if there's a pumpkin hanging on that tree, if there's a watermelon, or somebody wired it up on the tree. They don't know, because they don't want to judge nobody. They don't want to say anything that's going to make anybody mad. Well, I'm sorry. I'm called to preach the gospel. And preaching the gospel is going to make somebody mad. You're going to make everybody mad if they hear it very long. Eventually, you're going to make them mad. I'm talking about the flesh. But the real people of God want the truth, even if it tramples all over their old toes. That's right. And then whenever we look at them, when we see the fruit. So if we see people that are constantly lying and this and that and the other for years and years and years, I just have to say it. There's something missing in their life. You see people in this message, it bounced from one thing to another. They're in one click and another clan. They're missing the Holy Ghost, friends. Oh, I don't care how much they say they believe the message. The Holy Ghost solidifies you and stabilizes you in Christ Jesus. Oh my. Can I go on? All right. The angels heard you say amen to that now. Romans 6:22. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. and the end everlasting life. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now she wants the Spirit of God to come and blow out these fruits out of her own life so the Lord Jesus can come and eat of those fruits. Why? It is His fruits. It is not you. I'm struggling to get perfect love. I'm struggling to do this. I'm struggling. Then that's you. He will not eat that fruit. Well, I'm going to AAA, and then after I go to AAA, I'm going to BBB, and then CCC, and then DDD, and EEE. All you got to do is come to JESUS and let Him give you the Holy Ghost. You can skip AAA and BBB and DDD and why. Why? You got a new life. Ephesians 5:9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruits, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by, who? Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God. 2 Timothy 2:6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. She's finally come to a spot, Brother David, she can say it. I'm a Christian. I'm bride. I've got the Holy Ghost. I'm working on this human element here. Lord Jesus, come and eat of your fruits. Take of divine goodness out of my nature. Take of divine love out of my nature. I can offer it to you. Used to, I was offering you my love. And I felt so short of it. Now I felt it was so awful. You was right. Because you was trying to offer Him your little old pitiful excuse of love. We tried to offer Him our little old pitiful excuse of goodness and mercy and faithfulness. He don't want that. He wants His own. His own goodness. His own mercy. His own forgiveness. Living out of our lives, and He partakes of His own fruits, which is His own nature. Friends, this is the stature of a perfect man. The husbandman that labors must be first partaker of the fruits. James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. But you know what? All these good fruits have opposites. So there's an opposite to goodness, there's an opposite to gentleness, there's an opposite to kindness. Let's look at a few, shall we? All right, you asked for it. Let's look at an attribute called a talebearer. Now, I understand that amens will be really, really scarce from this point on for a while, but if any of y'all can grunt one out, I would at least appreciate a grunt. Leviticus 19:16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at the meaning of the word talebearer. A scandalmonger. Woo! A scandalmonger. As traveling about. Slander or slanderer. A talebearer or an informer. My. Well, hallelujah. Some of you smiling, some of you sad, some of you didn't know what today. Notice that. Now, this is even under the law. This is how bad God hated this. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. So the opposite of being a peacemaker and gentle and trying to bring calm and so on in a family or a body or a church is a talebearer. The problem is tail-bearing is not one of the attributes of the Holy Ghost. Tail-bearing is not one of the attributes of the fruits of the Spirit. So you'll never find Jesus taking a big old... What was that, Jesus? That was a tail-bearing fruit. Proverbs 11:13, a tale-bearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Amen. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a tale-bearer are as wounds. They go down to the innermost parts of the belly. Proverbs 20:19, he that goeth about as a tale-bearer revealeth secrets, and therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with the lips. We can all go to Wendy's if you'd rather. Proverbs 26:20. Where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there's no tailbearer, the strife ceases. A tailbearer is a word packer to a fire of vengeance and wrath. I'd hate to think that this was my attribute as a child of God. If this is your end, my friend, more than likely you will be lost. Sisters, your hair may be plumbed down to here. Your dresses may be so godly and so decent. This is what God said about a tailbearer. I don't care what the smiley preacher from Houston says. I don't care what the ministerial association from Asbury says. This is what God says. God don't like a tailbearer. I just wish some of them Sunday morning folks would have been here tonight. Well, that's the way it is. I'm going to preach it. Y'all are here, so I guess the Lord wants you to hear. Where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no tailbearer, the strife ceases. So it lets me know there'll be none in the millennium or none in the new earth. All it would take is one tailbearer in the millennium. All it would take would be one tailbearer in the new heavens and the new earth, and they'd keep something constant going all the time. But there won't be none there. I know we talk about Bob Darren, we talk about other things, but there's other things that won't be there as well. And this is one of them that won't be. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Proverbs 26:21, as coals are to burning coals. As coals are to burning coals. And wood to fire. So is a contentious man to kindle strife. And the words of a tailbearer are his wounds. Isn't it amazing? He repeats this again. And they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. All of us have been dealt with by tailbearers. And their words went down inside of us and cut us so deep by telling things that was not even the truth. Come on, saints. And sometimes it's people you go to church with. Sometimes it's people in your own family or people that you sit beside in the pew and you think, why in the world would they do that? Why would they do it? Satan is looking for people like this in a family or people like this in a body. I don't know about you. I refuse to give my mouth, my mind, my intelligence, my intellect, my life to be filled with such trash and nonsense. If I'm going to speak words, I want them to be words of life. I don't want to go about as a tailbearer. Come on, children. I don't want to go about as a tailbearer. God hates such things. Can we look at another one? Y'all are glutton for punishment, aren't you? Busybody. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Amen. Peter, would you care to tell us what words you used when you wrote this down about 2,000 years ago? Well, I'm not sure how in the world that Peter was able to pick this big fang-dangled Greek word since he couldn't read nor write his name. But you can see the word up here on the board. It's Strong's Concordance number 244. I'm not even going to attempt to try to pronounce it. Quite a thing for a man who couldn't read or write, isn't it? But look at the meaning of the word. One who takes the supervision of affairs pertaining to others and in no wise to himself, a meddler in other men's affairs. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my tail bearing down, my busybodying down. 2 Thessalonians 3:11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly. Oh my. Working not at all, but are busybodies. Same English word, but a different Greek word now. Watch this. To bustle about uselessly, to busy oneself about trifling, needless, useless matters, used apparently of a person officiously inquisitive about others' affairs. I always marvel at the people that can tell me the will of God for my life in 5 minutes and takes them 75 years to find the will of God for their life. You ought to do this and you ought to go there and you ought to do something else. Maybe you ought to keep your big fat mouth shut and keep your mouth out of other people's business. You realize sometimes a busybody and a meddler can be your mama. Woo! Preach, Brother Donnie. It can be your daddy. It can be your sister. It can be your brother. It can be a pastor. It can be a deacon. Well, Jesus, you're going to get me fired, Lord, from this job. Now, will the Lord Jesus eat this fruit? It would make him sick. This would make him vomit. So people who are in this activity, the morning of the rapture, will be left. Why? It's their nature. It's in their nature to be a busybody, to go around and meddle in other people's affairs. And the church said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Oh my. Notice what he says in verse 12. But now them that are such, we command, and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. In other words, keep your mouth shut and eat your supper. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man... Now listen, friend, this is serious. This is not an option like power windows on your car. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. In reality, every busybody in this church should be shunned by every Christian. Every busybody in this church, every busybody in your family should be shunned. Good Lord. That's the scripture. Reckon it'd be too old for me to take up plumbing. No, it wouldn't be too old. My, let's look at one more. Bitterness. Bitterness. Bitterness is a fruit that comes from a root. We all know people that are bitter. Many people deal with bitterness, but they go on. They refuse to let it destroy them. Others let it become a root under the ground of their heart. It grows and it grows and it grows. Sometimes you never know exactly what you've done to them, but it's like they're out to get you. It's something that drives them. I can tell you what that is. Demons. The Holy Ghost never deals in bitterness. He can never anoint you to be bitter to anyone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, saints. Now watch this, how that Paul says this in verse 30 of Ephesians 4. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You mean a person with the Holy Ghost can grieve the Holy Ghost? Is that scripture? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. Let all bitterness. Now here he would come at the very next verse out of, after talking about grieving the Holy Ghost, and give us examples by wherewith we can grieve him. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Look at this word evil. Blaspheme. Where we get the word blaspheme from. Look what it means. Slander. Detraction, speech, injurious to another's good name. Do you realize it is blasphemy? Blasphemy. When you are trying to destroy another person. To injure their name, their honor, their character, their reputation. Well, we went real quick from a garden to a dump, didn't we? We feel like we're out here walking around on the landfill, Brother Amos. Man, what happened to all them cool breezes and all them nice showers of rain? And we're out here in the middle of a mess. Come on, children. You can't be a dump, a landfill, and a garden. You can't have the love of God flowing in your heart in bitterness. You cannot be able to be a fruit tree that the Lord Jesus can come and enjoy and have wrath and clamor and evil speaking, blaspheming saints of God. Oh my, but notice verse 32, but be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiven one another as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Friend, let me tell you something, friend. That verse right there is totally unattainable. Totally, completely unattainable. Except for those that have a new birth. To be able, oh, people say, well, I'll forgive so-and-so if they'll ask me. And I'll forgive so-and-so if they'll do this for me. And they'll labor under me. And I'll hold that grudge over them. That's not the way God forgive you. We are supposed to give in the exact same way that God forgave us, for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. Not because they make it up and they do penance for 47 years and they're kind to you the rest of their life and they take out to eat for every Sunday now till you're 103 years old. That's not the reason you forgive them. Well, I'll forgive them if they'll treat me nice, and I'll forgive them if they'll do this and that and the other. That's not the reason God forgave you. God forgave you for Christ's sake. We forgive our brothers and sisters for the same reason, for Christ's sake. Oh my. Can't you see why Jesus can come into the garden of our life and he sees this forgiveness hanging off of our branches? He sees this mercy and this kindness and this tender hearted, and he looks at all that you go through. He looks at your family. He looks at what you deal with weekly and the people around you who provoke you to anger and provoke you to be the very opposite of this. He knows your struggles, and to him this fruit is so precious. He's seen what you've been through this very week that someone did to you, and you're struggling to keep from having an attitude toward them. Amen. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Not smoking, not marijuana, not drugs. Bitterness. Bitterness. Which leads to resentment, hard feelings. Friends, I don't think sometimes people come to the house of God, they realize the seriousness of it. People come right here and sit and hear me preach and pout on me. Out on me preaching. Do you understand? You're sitting in dangerous ground. I hope Ananias and Sapphira don't begin with you. This is not a playhouse. We're not playing church the way our children did when they were small. This is serious. Not just me as a preacher, but I'm talking about as a family of God. You cannot blaspheme the family of God. Oh, Lord Jesus. Notice Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Notice the way he categorizes these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which all deal with the outward part of the flesh. Now we move in. Idolatry, witchcraft. It is not drawing pentagons and hexagons and offering goats. This word witchcraft is pharmaceuta. The use of drugs. Witchcraft, hatred. Secret enmity in our hearts. Let me give you the meanings of these words as we go down through here. Secret enmity in our hearts against our neighbor, either for real or apprehended injuries. Hatred. Variance. Outward contention by words or action arising from the aforementioned enmity in the heart. Emulation. An inward grief and displeasure at some good in others. Or done by others, which eclipses and overshadows us. You'd be surprised at how many preachers is eat up with this. They can't stand it if God uses them a little more, gives them a little bigger church or whatever more than he uses them, or singers or whoever, musicians. It's right among many that do something for God and they battle. A man ain't even fit to be used, or a woman of God, until they could see their brother and sister used far above them. Then they're ready to be used themselves. Come on, don't get quiet on me, Happy Valley. Do we want to be a real bride for Christ that has fruit? Or do we want to be a bunch of swiveled up, dried up trees with nothing but just a bunch of tree wood? No bark, no lives, no leaves. Wrath, violent anger, and immoderate passion, depriving a man for the time of his reason, transforming him into a beast. Strife, a continual proneness to quarreling and contending. Seditions, rendering of societies into factions and dividing communities into parties and dividing work. When it falls out in the state, it is called sedition in the church, the name of schism. Heresy, dangerous errors on the fundamental points of religion, not rising purely from mistakes of judgment, but from the espousing of false doctrines out of disgust or pride. Boy, I mean, Paul covered some territory, didn't he? My. Worldly principles to avoid persecution or trouble in the flesh. These may well be accounted carnal lust. Amen. Ephesians 5:21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Envyings of pestilent lust, which makes another's good our grief. Our eyes smart at the sight of another a joys. And though we have nevertheless, because another has more. Murders, that is the executing of private revenge by shedding of blood. But let me tell you something, friend. You can kill somebody without ever taking their life. Notice this in the Hebrews book. And you people with these saw blade tempers that's always spouting off in the mouth at somebody. Can't put up and things like that. Be careful. You're guilty if you speak a word against your brother that's not right. Go around and tear him down. You don't have to stick a knife in a man's back to kill him. You can break his character and kill him. Kill his influence. Speak against your pastor. Notice this ain't just a preacher now. This is your brother's and your pastor as well. Say something bad about him. You just might as well have shot him. You mean to tell me if you would run me down, or you'd run one of your brother or sister down and tell something that's not true, you might as well took your gun and blowed my brains out. Oh, Lord Jesus. Told something that wasn't right about him, kill his influence with the people and things like that, and you are guilty of it. Oh, my. Lord Jesus, let me close with this. If there's any of this that's in me, I don't pray the wind of God come and blow it into his fragrance and into his nostrils that he can smell it. I pray the conviction of the Holy Ghost strike mine in your heart. And God forgive us right here tonight. and we make things right with God. So when the wind comes, it can blow into his nostrils the odor, oh my, of a Christian that's been in the due presence of God. Can't you see what a great victory it is? Every day of your life, friends, literally every day you're bombarded with some source or resource of Satan to corrupt these fruits in your life. Whether it's a family member or a friend or an acquaintance or just somebody in a parking lot at Walmart. You know how it is. My goodness, people are just living on the edge of insanity anymore. They sit in front of you through the traffic light. You honk your horn, you better have your doors locked. Why? People's crazy. People are crazy. The road rage is getting more and more and more and more. White people living right on the edge of it. Don't tell me as a human being that you're exempt from all of that as well. You are a mortal. You are a mortal. And God knows that this is why he can save her. Can you imagine a person plowing and planting a garden out of fertile soil, non-fertile soil rather. And people say, you're wasting your time. You'll never grow tomatoes there. You'll never grow sweet potatoes there. You'll never produce this there. And yet you go out there and you labor, and then you go out there and, oh my, look at them sweet potatoes. Look at them tomatoes. Look at them cucumbers. And you go out and take them into your family. Look here what we've done. Look what they've done. You can sit there and eat against all the false prophecy that was made against you. It's the same way with you and I. And the devil and all the demons and your mom and your daddy and mainly you. You'll never make a good garden for God. You'll never be fertile for God. You'll be this and that and the other. And then he comes down and produces this kind of fruit out of your life. And he sits down at the table and eats off of your tree what he produced. He takes them fruits and they are so succulent. They are so juicy. They are so ripe. The colors are beautiful. The shape is right. And he produced this out of you that was a condemned piece of land. There was skull and crossbones all over your property. Not fit for seed. Not fit for eating. Not fit for anything but a clean bullet. Maybe not even a clean one. Not fit for nothing. And Jesus went out there and took the skull and the crossbones and all that stuff and throwed it all away. Sanctified it, praise God. Got all the decontaminants out of it. And what did he do? He plowed it out. And he was able to bring that seed of God in there and let you live in Laodicea, the worst age it's ever been. And day by day, week by week, you are assaulted. And in the midst of your assault, you're still producing these fruits. Amen. Is this what we want? Lord Jesus, help us, Father. Oh, do you love him, children? With all your heart, is this what you want out of your life, the Spirit of God to help you to be able to produce this? We're on an onslaught constantly, every day. It's on your phone. It's on social media. I know you get tired of hearing me say it. Be careful how you use social media, Facebook and this and that and the other. There's a projection of the spirit of the world on there. And if you're not careful, you will conform to that. You will assimilate. People get on there and run people down and do this and that and the other. And if you're not careful, you'll pull right into their worldly way of doing the same thing. And you'll leave God's way. You leave God's way when you do it. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. That ain't what Jesus said. He said, pray for them. Pray for them. Amen. A real man of good spirit conceals the matter. He don't blab it. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh my. I love him, don't you? I so appreciate him. I appreciate his mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh my, thank you, Lord. You see, by contemplating and looking into the mirror of his word, the image that is there, we are changed and transformed. Metamorpho. Metamorpho.
we are changed into that image. It's the power of assimilation. But that power also works on the negative side. That's why Satan wants to put all kinds of negative things in front of you, in front of your children, to influence them in the wrong way. That's right. And this is what God wants you to be. This garden. Fruitful. Beautiful. So fertile. Your soul is so fertile that things just burst out of your life. Not without struggle. Not without difficulty. But you are so fertile. The right temperature, the right moisture. You should hate this person and hate that one and that one. But you can't hate them. The fruit won't let you. The life just overpowers. He said, I can't hate them. I'm praying for them. It's beneath me to hate. Some of you are already mad at me. I'm going to make you madder. It is beneath me to hate. It is beneath me to pout on a preacher. I'm not that childish. Praise the Lord. It's beneath me to have this evil speaking and clamor. No, no. I want fruits that the Lord Jesus can eat. Because all that he done when he come to this earth and he asked the Father for one thing. One thing. And that was your fellowship. And he can only fellowship and eat at our table when we're serving the right food. So you serve Jesus a bowl of your bitterness. You dip out of your great big old 55-gallon drum of envy and strife and bitterness and hatred and resentment. Jesus will never take one bite of it. And you shouldn't. He won't. And you shouldn't. It'll destroy you, friends. Bitterness, resentment. You know what? That's amazing to me. A lot of folks mess up their own life by their ignorance and stupidity. And then they get mad at everybody else. And blame everybody else. And then they get all bitter at the preacher. And they get bitter at this one and bitter at that one. And the main cause of it is themselves. Amen. But they can't accept the blame. I'm the one to blame. They've always got to have somebody. And as long as you're doing that, you'll never be able to be right with God. Amen. You've got to admit yourself, I am my biggest enemy. I am my biggest problem. God can't even help you till you do that. Can you imagine God taking a garden that's just got roots of bitterness, envy and strife, blasphemy. Never a kind word to say about nobody. Always critical, criticizing, just smart. Nothing ever gentle at all ever comes out of the mouth. Just spewing out all this nonsense. Then Jesus takes that garden, fills it with the Holy Ghost, and detoxes all the ground. Gets rid of all the chemicals and all the spillage of bitterness and the spillage of evil speaking and clamor. And fills it with the Holy Ghost. And goes to breaking up that fertile ground. Planting these seeds of kindness, mercy, amen, forgiveness, and love. Amen. Tenderhearted. It goes to mounting it up. Set you in a church where you got a pastor with a mattock, a hoe, a shovel, wheelbar, miracle grow. Amen. And whatever else you need. And he comes out there sometimes with a hoe in his hand. He's got that hoe in his eye look. Uh-oh, he's done seen some weeds. Oh, Lord, here he comes, here he comes. He's done seen some weeds. He's done picked up some weeds. There he goes, the Holy Ghost will send him after him. Right? You know where them weeds are, don't you? They're right next to the seed. I hope you can understand this. Your heart is your garden. Your body is your weed patch. Woo! Look how close the weeds are to the garden. Right here. Oh my, let me close.
before I get thrown out of here. Oh, praise the Lord. Come, north wind. Come, south. Let me say it this way, too. Come, man of God. Come with the mattock. Come with the hole. Whatever's needed in my life to grub out this root of bitterness or malice or strife. Don't cut me no corners, man of God. Grub it out of me. Any of y'all got guts enough to raise your hand and say, amen? Grub it out of me. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you would help us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. All of our shortcomings, our failures. May your great Holy Spirit, the great searchlight of God, as it were, look down on every heart, every soul. See if there's any variance. Begin with me first, Lord Jesus. Place my life on this screen, if you will. Search me, Lord. Is there any emulation, any strife? Am I jealous of anybody? Am I jealous of any preacher or any ministry? Lord, have I got pride? Look at me, Lord, please. I don't want the wind to come and blow that up into the nose of my Lord and him smell that, oh, and make him sick. So, Lord, I ask you, take it out tonight, Lord. Glory to God. Whatever instrument you need to use, a knife, a blade, a mattock, a hole, if you need to burn it, whatever. Lord Jesus, may you search each of our hearts. Not only the visible audience, but the invisible. Those that are streamed and those that will go back and archive, may the Spirit of God help us. Oh, Jesus, every day of our life, we're facing this battle of Satan trying to make us bitter and trying to make us this and that. Help us, Lord Jesus. No wonder this fruit is so precious to you. It's brought forth under such duress. It's brought forth under such difficulty. And you can sit down at the table, as it were, when we invite you in. And you come to us. You sit at our table. We dish out our love and our forgiveness. And you sit there and say, I noticed you forgave so-and-so. I noticed they didn't even ask you to forgive you. And I notice that from your heart, you forgave them. I love that fruit. Then you might say back, that's what I did on the cross. I said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Stephen, my first martyr, did the same thing. Now I see that same life living in you. I noticed there was not a revengeful attitude about you. I noticed that you never purposed you was going to treat them with an attitude the next time you saw them. But you forgave them and you want to go on. Oh, praise God. Lord, let that fruit fall off of our trees at Happy Valley. Let that fruit be laying all around our lives. Let us be that type of Christian. When the morning glory is dipped and bathed in the dew of the Holy Ghost. And someone that's had such a bad, bad time. They see that smile on her face, that all about us. May they smell that aroma of our Creator's life. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. How many wants that in your life? How many wants to be that morning glory type of Christian? Where the dew is all around you. And you have that freshness, that awe of the Holy Spirit. Even though you may be going through some of the darkest times of your life. That's just your body. Your soul is still a morning glory. Your soul is still in the dew of God.
Would you lay your hand over on the person standing by you and let's offer a word of prayer for our brothers and sisters. They might feel so dry tonight, so despondent, in such needs. May you pray for them with a prayer of faith. Lord Jesus, as we have our hands one upon the other, with the love of God in our hearts, Father, Lord, I'm thinking of some different ones now, Lord, not only here, but out in other places, Lord Jesus, that have been going through some very difficult times of late. Lord God, I pray you administer the dew from heaven. Lord, we know that when we get through one thing of life and we seem to conquer that one thing, Satan brings something else and something else and something else. We'll never, ever be in a world that is stress-free. We'll never be living in a world that is free from anxiety and trouble. So, Lord, we're not waiting for you to change the world to be stress-free so we can be stress-free. But in a world that is full of stress, we believe we can live a life that is so full of peace and full of mercy and grace and forgiveness and kindness. Lord Jesus, help us, I pray. I pray for them individually. I pray for them collectively. Lord God, make every predestinated seed, make that heart of theirs a garden, Lord. A garden that is so fertile. Oh God, a garden that is so germatized to the seed of this hour. This is why we could never really be a good Baptist or a Methodist or a Pentecostal. Our ground was ordained to fit message seed. Amen. That's why we had to come to this to really become what you wanted us to be. Now, Lord, after we're here, now we have this onslaught against our lives daily. Father, of dealing with one issue after another after another. We know what it's all about. It's to taint our fruit. It's to affect our fellowship with you, Lord. For many, no doubt, they've done cross the line, received the Holy Ghost. Satan cannot get them. He cannot get their soul. It's already yours. But if he can taint the fruit, if he can cause a troublesome wind, a boisterous wind to come and hit them, Lord, and they get an attitude. We know what the prophet said. It just grieves the Holy Spirit right away from us, Lord. Bitterness in our heart and whatever more. Help us, I pray, Lord God. Help us to forgive all people their trespasses, Lord. Dear God, I forgive. I forgive tonight every person that spoke evil against me. I forgive those who've told lies on me, Lord. I forgive those, Father, who've spread lies against me. Even though many of them have never come and asked me to forgive them, I forgive them in the person of Christ. I forgive them on that basis. Many cannot do that. It's not in them. It's not in them, but it's in me. I'm not going to wait for people to come and ask me. I want to forgive them, Lord. Because I choose to walk the higher road. I choose to walk the road that you walked, Lord. Hallelujah. Then, Lord Jesus, then when we are cleansed, then, Lord God, we can pray for the wind to come and blow the fragrance of our odorous life into the presence of God. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Father. Lord, if there's a busybody, if there's been one that's been a talebearer, Lord, that's had envy, strife, whatever more, I pray their heart has been smitten tonight, God. Help them to be set free from it, Lord. I believe demons can leave people while your word is being preached, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May bitterness leave these people tonight. May strife and evil speaking, emulation and variance, may it leave us, Lord. Praise God. Make our hearts, praise God, fertile soil for the seed of God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Let's just lay on his altar as it was for just a few minutes, can we? If you'd have a hurting in your side or your body somewhere, and the doctors would look and they try this and try that, and maybe your insurance would require a CT scan or something first before they go to an MRI being so expensive, and they do one test and eliminate this and another and another. And then they put you on there and they want to look at your cells, they want to look at your bones, your tissues, what's going on. An intense scan. May the Holy Ghost lay you on the table tonight, as it were. May the Spirit of God just scan you real good. Scan your attitude. Amen. Scan your heart. Scan your Facebook post. Praise the Lord. Scan your music. Scan everything. Just scan your whole life. It may take him a bit just to scan your whole life. See if he finds anything that displeases him. Amen. Then let the Holy Spirit come and convict you. Unlike a doctor's report where you may have to wait a week or two or three to go back before you get the results, the Holy Ghost can scan you right now and just prick your heart about that little something you said to your mama, or that little something you said to a brother before church. It just wasn't quite right. Let the Spirit of God give you the result of your spiritual MRI. Praise God. Sing that song for us, Harry. Search me, O God. Search me, O God. Search me, O God. Can we sing it together? Not just make it a song, but make it a prayer. Oh, search me, O God. Amen. And know my heart today. Yes, Lord. Oh, try me. Oh, Savior. Know my thoughts. I pray, see if there be, oh, grant it, Lord God, some wicked way in me. And what? And set me. Lord, set me free. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Holy Ghost. Oh, Holy Ghost. Revive. May want a revival in you. Amen. Oh, send. Yes, Lord God. Send a revival. Revival. Lord Jesus, start the work in me. Blessing us now, Lord. Amen. Bring it, Lord Jesus. Bring the dew from heaven, Lord, I pray. Bring the dew, the freshness, Father, the reverberating power of God in our souls, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing it again. Search me, God. Search. Can we raise our hands?
Let's raise our hands now as we go through God's great MRI. Not the magnetic resonance imaging, but let the Spirit of God search our spirit, our attitude, our soul, our mind, our objectives, our motives. Know my heart today, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, try me, oh, Savior. Know my thoughts, I Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, where Brother Branham would preach a hard sermon and he'd use these same terms over and over again, he said, don't you just feel all scoured out? Just scoured out. Amen. You know what? When you get all scoured out, that's when you can really come clean before him. Well, it hurts. I know it does. It hurts me too. Just keep in mind, when I'm pointing you, I've got these right here aimed back at me. I ain't just preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. A preacher that don't preach to himself, I don't want him in this pulpit. That's right. Amen. Turn and shake hands with somebody. Tell them, pray for me, brother, sister. Pray for me. I want to be what I heard tonight. Pray for me, brothers. I want to be what I heard tonight. And sister, pray for me, Brother Phil. Pray for me, saints. I want to be this with all of my heart. With all of my heart. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. What is on your heart? Praise
when
the Lord
the
Jesus.
Coal of fire had touched the prophet.
Yes, Lord.
Making him as pure could be. And the voice of God said, who go for us?
Yes, Lord.
Then he answered, here am I.
Here am I, Lord.
Send me.
Amen.
Speak my Lord. Speak my Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Speak and I will
quit to answer
thee.
Amen.
Speak my
speak
and I will answer.
myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself give myself away so you can use me. Here I am, here I stand, Lord, my life is in your hands, Lord, I'm virtues revealed in me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself. Give myself away so you can use me. Take my heart.
Yes, Lord.
Take my life.
My life, Lord.
As a living sacrifice.
Oh, let's worship Him now, can't we? Thank you, Jesus.
Myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. I give myself to you. Oh, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. I give myself to you. Myself away.
Amen. Let's sing it, church. Let's sing it with all of our hearts. I give it to you, Lord.
I give
my garden space, my trees,
so
my shrubs, my flowers, my life.
Use me,
Jesus. Oh, away. Hallelujah. Away, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them. Praise God. Praise God. I mean, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen. We're going to sing, "I'm So Glad I've Crossed Over the Line." But before we do, I'd like to wish my darling wife of 44 years a happy anniversary today. God will certainly give her a great reward. What's that mean, Brother Keith? You're nodding your head. Does that mean living with me or what? Amen. I so appreciate her and love her with all of my heart. Ashley and Courtney's birthday, our granddaughter's, was yesterday. Mine and Carol's anniversary is today. Mine and Carol's birthday is tomorrow. Em and Ellie's birthday is the day after that. And Scotty's birthday is that day. So July 7, 8, 9, and 10 is a busy time. I'm glad to have family and friends, aren't you, that we can be able to enjoy these things together. Friends, to be honest, I would have never thought I would have lived to be 60, much less 61. And girls, listen to Brother Bram talk the other day, and he's talking about him. He was 56. I told her, I said, think of it. We are older than he was. Wow. But I agree with Brother Louis. Compared to the other option, I'm glad. Amen. I want to live my life for him, don't you? God bless you. Let's come together in the morning, expecting the Lord to speak to us once again. I can tell you before we ever get here, we've got some wonderful things to look at. Wonderful things to look at. Our God is so mindful of us, isn't he? Let's just sing this together tonight. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. You can be dismissed as you'd like. Well, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad.